My guest is Deborah Dozier Potter, and we're going to talk about pets. And I think everybody loves pets. Most everybody loves pets, and most people love dogs. Maybe a few cat people aren't there, don't. But you had several dogs in your lives, but there was a border collie named Buster who made quite an impression. Led you to write the book, Let Buster Lead, Discovering Love, Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder, and Self-Acceptance. So first of all, what kind of a personality did Buster have? Because every dog has its own personality.
Buster was a person. He was a lover boy. He would look in your soul with those beautiful brown eyes of his. He had a way of knowing what I was thinking before I even knew it. He would talk to me. I mean, he would literally sort of say things with his mouth. You know, different sounds would come out. He almost had like this sort of vocabulary that I list in the book, you know, of things he would say. He pant three times, you know, meant this. And, you know, squealing a certain way meant that. And nudging my arm, you kind of meant, come with me right now. There's something really important I want to show you. He was a person.
Now, Buster came to you as a pound puppy, of all things.
He did. I was looking for a dog to keep my other dog company. I was way too busy a person to deal with a new puppy. My father had just died. I actually had a kind of form of PTSD because of, death in the family, and I didn't know it, of course, then. And I just didn't want to get emotionally involved with anything or anyone, especially another dog. And this dog crept into my heart.
And Buster may be different because you've had other dogs. You had Thundercloud and you had little Gracie, but what made Buster special?
Just the way he connected with me and understood me. I mean, it was just like, you know how you, in school, you know, you meet friends and you have a lot of friends, and then you have that one friend that just becomes your best friend because you know they know you deep in your soul and are going to accept you for everything you do. Buster, and being disabled, going through life with a disability, being different. You know, for a while there I was with a walker and a sling and a neck brace. I mean, talk about funny looking. And going through the world just knowing that, okay, so I'm different. And when I had post-traumatic stress disorder and I would start to flinch and scream when somebody would approach me in public, it was Buster who was able to give me the confidence to say to myself, so I'm different. So what? We're all different. And it's that self-acceptance that our pets give us that is just irreplaceable in life.
Now, even before the accident, you and your husband were politically active, so you had a lot of responsibilities, not only with businesses but also things, and you were always on the go and very busy. And even in that time, Buster was the kind of dog that if you wanted to lay down, he'd come up and sleep. He'd lay in the bed with you, and he was always kind of an affection dog even before the accident.
Yes, he was. And my husband was the state chairman for one of our political parties. And after a while, he was just gone all the time. And Buster became the love of my life.
Now, you know, let's just talk a little bit about the accident itself. You had an accident. Were you horse riding at the time?
I was riding my horse. I fell off. I broke five bones, and I had a concussion. When I was lying on the ground, Buster lay down on top of me, and he would not let the rescue workers near me until they sent for somebody he knew who said, you know, Buster, it's okay. You can let these guys near your mom. It took about 6 weeks for some of my bones to heal. One of them took a lot longer than that, maybe 4 or 5 months. I couldn't really get back on my horse again until the accident happened in late August. I couldn't ride until February. But I bonded with my horse in different ways. But it took about a year for the post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms to kick in, and that's very typical with post-traumatic stress. We all have traumas. I mean, a divorce, the death of a child, changing jobs, getting fired. For children, the statistics are much higher for the probability of PTSD. You know, they change schools or, you know, see their kitten run over by a car or see abuse in their family. They're going to get PTSD, according to statistics I've been reading. But what's important is we don't know to look for the symptoms. I didn't. I almost ruined a fantastic life. I mean, we had a busy, wonderful, glamorous, loving marriage. I almost destroyed all of that because of my urge to withdraw from society completely due to PTSD. If I hadn't found out I had it, I probably would have ruined a wonderful life. And I hope people can read my experience and see themselves in it before they, too, can ruin a wonderful life.
What was it like at that time? You mentioned a little bit a moment ago that for one thing, you didn't like to be touched when you were going through that. What were some other symptoms of it?
For me, it was very typical symptoms that are on my website, Let Buster Lead. We can go right to the symptoms and in my book, of course. For me, it was just irritability, just terrible irritability, feeling very stressed, apprehension all the time. What's that noise? What is that? Very sensitive to noises, any loud noise. I talk about this in the book. I was in a grocery store, and the door kept slamming, the screen door. To me, it was bang. Bang, it was like gunshots going off. And I said to the clerk, gee, how can you stand that door slamming all day? And she looks at me, she says, what door? It was just the hypersensitivity and hyper-awareness and the tendency to be emotionally withdrawn. Don't touch me. Don't come near me. For PTSD sufferers, the inside looks like, I don't want anybody near me. I don't want to go out. I'm afraid to go out. I might do something stupid. And most importantly, the reliving of the trauma over and over and over again in their mind.
Now, you said you were uncomfortable being touched by another person, but what was it the fact that Buster wasn't a person that made it easier for Bob, maybe Buster to cuddle and to pet him and to do things?
It's funny. When I was at home, I had a hospital bed in our kitchen for a month. I was in a hospital bed, and we put in our kitchen. We rented one, and Buster would get on top of the bed, lay down on top of me, never once touch one of those broken bones. He knew where they were. My husband, poor darling, he would come home from work at the end of the day, come and hug me, managed to touch them all. It was hard not to. I had broken bones, broken rib, broken collar, shattered collarbone, broken pelvis, different sides of the body. So it was very hard for me to go through life without being touched by one of those bones.
Now, in Let Buster Lead, you kind of take us through the end. Now, Buster, of course, as dogs all do, and we all have to face that, but eventually, in his case, Buster came down and had some tumors. And what was that time like? You'd been through all this with Buster. You'd seen him grow up and become very well adapted. And then suddenly, you have to make these decisions.
Oh, it was so painful. Because they can't tell you. They can't tell you what they want. I talk about how my father said, I'm really looking forward to the, it's okay when I die, you're going to be okay. With Buster, with their pets, we can't tell them. And all I could do was look at the x-rays and get different opinions from different doctors and call different friends who'd experienced the death of a dog and ask them what they went through and what they would do if they were me. And that was all I could do. I did not want to put Buster down because I couldn't lie to him. I couldn't imagine saying to him, oh, honey, this will be okay. This won't hurt. But when the morning came, he made it so clear to me that he was ready to die. The night before, we found him outside in the corner of the dog kennel that we just happened to have locked because one of our other dogs had a little minor surgery and wasn't able to go out and play. But so Buster wasn't able to wander very far from the house. But we found him in the rain in the far corner of the dog of the little kennel. And I didn't get what he was trying to tell me. But all night long, he stayed awake. He wouldn't even go to sleep. And I could tell he was miserable. And so I called the vet and asked him to come to the house and made the appointment. And I just knew it was time. Buster told me. He made it so clear. Fortunately, since quite sadly, and I write about this in the book, he left my side and left in our arms before the vet was able to arrive, and my husband and I were able to tell him to go. Just, it's okay to go. It's okay to let go. He stayed alive until I knew I was well. I still had severe PTSD when he was diagnosed, and he waited until I knew I was well enough to survive without him. I went into Kmart 3 days before Christmas to run a simple little errand, and I had to leave Buster in the car. Then it was too painful for him to walk that far. And I came out and said, oh, my God, I got through that story just fine. I must be getting well now. And a week later, Buster died. He waited for me. He waited until his job was done.
Deborah Dozier Potter, my guest. The book is Let Buster Lead. And what's that website again, please?
LetBusterLead.com.
Thank you so much. Appreciate your time. Really do.
Thank you. I love talking to you.
Take care.
Bye, Jim.